Blog Talk Radio.
Bless you. Lord, bless
Good afternoon, and welcome to Joy and Peace, also put on by Women Unified in Christ today. We have an exciting topic today we'll be bringing to you. It's going to be a while before I can put anybody up on my computer because it's doing update. And so soon as it come completely up, I'll be able to bring you all on the computer. So let us go ahead and start. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are and whose you are. We thank you for being a wheel in the middle of a wheel. We thank you for this broadcast that will go forth like never before. We thank you for each and every person that have tuned in to the broadcast. We give you praise today. We give you glory today because it's not about us. It's all about you. So we thank you for who you are and whose you are. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and thank God. I can't see my switchboard. Haven't come up yet, so I'll go ahead. Just save your questions until when it's completely finished this update. I don't know why I waited till this afternoon to do the update, but we're going to go ahead and start. Today our topic is prejudice, and we're going to talk about a lot of prejudices. We're going to do this in a two-part. We're going to talk about appearances, group, financial state, whether it's youth or old age, a personal occupation, a family member or a hometown, or ethnic group. So we're going to start it off on our thing. It may be coming up now, but let me go ahead. Prejudices are forming a negative opinion about someone without adequate basis. In a very real sense, it is judging someone without all the facts, condemning them in the court of personal opinion. Prejudice can be formed against a person or an entire race of people. The Bible speaks out clearly against prejudice. God created all humans are unique and special creation, formed by the Lord himself. We are not to be judgmental, but loving. We are not to be suspicious, but inviting. So today, that's the topic we're going to talk about, prejudice. And we're coming from the Bible, so I hope you have your Bibles or your paper and pens where you can come right on with us. First of all, don't be prejudice for or against a person because of appearance. You know, a lot of people like to judge you on account of the way you are dressed. You know, over in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7 say, do not judge by his appearance or height. The Lord doesn't make decisions the way you do. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord look at a person's thoughts and intent. Over in Isaiah 53:2, the word of God says, my servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, sprouting from a root in dry and sterile ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. So today, we're talking about prejudice. You know, people judge you on the way you look, on your height or your appearance or what you have on. But God don't look at that. You know, we have stereotype people that's about prejudging against fat people, short people, skinny people, ugly people, black people, white people, yellow people, people with skin defect, blade people, the list go on. You already know. because some of you all that's on this line have already prejudged people by their appearance. You know, it is wrong to judge a person by the temporal house he or she is in. The real person inside may be a person of incredible beauty. You know, some of you all say, well, I wonder why did she marry him or why did he marry her? She's fat, she's ugly, or she's this, she's that. But you really don't know that person on the inside. The person that chose that person saw something beyond the outward appearance. And we, as men and women of God that may be on this line, hopefully my switchboard will be coming on shortly. That way I can get who all is on the line today and to bring you on with your question. Just hold your questions, write them down until my switchboard come up completely 100%. You know, don't be prejudged for or against a group because of one person in that group. How many of you all, you won't do something because one person in a group made you mad, talked about you, but you badgered everyone that was in that group for what one person said or one person did. So we're not to do that. Over in Esther, the third chapter, the fifth through the sixth verse, Haman was filled with rage. So he decided it was not enough to lay hands on Mordecai alone. He decided to destroy all the Jews throughout the entire emperor because one man. The other people didn't know nothing about Mordecai and Haman, what they had going between them two. So when you think about that, when you point fingers at a whole group of people, but it was only one person that say something about you or did something to you, but you judging and you prejudging everyone that's in that group that didn't even know anything about what was said, what was done. So when you think about that, you at fault, you wrong. God is telling us from scriptures, we don't do that. You know, we often form an opinion about an entire group of people, national, church, denomination, local club, based on the action of one individual. How many of you all have did that? You have prejudged somebody about what somebody else did. That's wrong. The Lord don't want you to do that. And when you think about what you've done, you got to go back and ask the Lord for forgiveness and that person because you are judging and God do not want you to judge. Don't be prejudgmental because of a personal financial state. I know I can hit a lot of church folks on that particular one. Because when you think about it, well, how can she afford that? Well, how can they afford that? You already judging that person. You prejudging that person. You don't know about that person's financial, a personal financial state, but you already got it in your mind about how they going to do this, how they going to do that. And that wasn't your forte. I'm going to try to come in. And see who's all on. Okay, we're trying to, it's pulling up. Well, I can see exactly who's on, who have something they want to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that should be coming on shortly. But why is this doing that? We're going to go on. And we are not to form an opinion about an entire group of persons, no matter what's their nationality, no matter what church denomination they are or what club they in. God wants us to look at the person himself. God would do the church. You don't know what that person's heart is. You don't know how they're thinking what they thinking unless they tell you. And people on the whole like to judge and prejudge people by their appearance or by what they think that person have or don't have. But God don't want us to do that. He's letting us know through the scriptures. Don't prejudge because of a personal financial state. And we're going to go over to our first scripture in Proverbs 14, 20, and 21 while we're waiting for this to come up. Hallelujah. Over in Proverbs 14, 20, and 21, and let's read what those scriptures say just in case you don't have your Bibles with you. We're going to read what thus saith the Lord in scripture. Let me turn right on over that to that while my screen is trying to come up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, let's see what Proverbs saying on this here. Okay, we're going to Proverbs, the 14th chapter, and let's see what it's saying. Okay, the 14th chapter and the 20th through the 21st verse. The word of God said, the poor is hated even of his own neighbors, but the rich has many friends. He that despises his neighbor sinneth. Excuse me, but he that has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Now here, you heard what the scripture say. The poor are despised even by their neighbors, while the rich have many friends. It is sin to despise one's neighbor. Blessed are those who help the poor. And that's what the word of God is saying, not me. That's what the word of God is saying. And it is, you know, Proverbs 14 and 31 says, he that oppresses the poor reproach his maker, but he that honored him has mercy on the poor. My, when we read that. Those who oppress the poor insult their maker, meaning you insulting God. But those who help the poor honor him. And we're going to turn over to James 2, 1 and 9 concerning that. And we're going to see what it says. My thing is trying to come up. Praise the Lord. Let me turn over to James while it's coming up. So y'all just hold on to your questions. So by the time I get to you all, you'll be ready to fire it up. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to go to James 2, 1 and 9. You know, the enemy has a way of doing, thinking he's doing something by putting this broadcast where it's like almost on hold to see who all called in from the switchboard. But I believe in going on. I don't let that stand in the way of what God has for us to hear today. Open James chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And the word of God said, my brothers, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, respect a person? For if there come unto your assembly man with the gold ring and godly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partially in yourself, and are become judge of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not thy blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. But you have respect to persons. You commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. We're talking about judging, prejudging people. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to judge someone. You know, but if you pay special attention to the rich, you are committing a sin. A wealthy person and a poor person come to church, which is welcome more. A wealthy person and a poor person speak up in a church commitment meeting. Which one do you listen to more carefully? Are you listening to the one? Oh, praise God, my thing have come up. Good, good, good. Thank you all for staying on. So right now, I'm getting ready to put you all on. Whoever would like to say something, hit one on your keypad, and I will bring you in. Today, we're talking about prejudice. Those that's always finding fault with somebody, you always prejudging. Anybody would like to say something, just hit one on your keypad, and I will gladly bring you in because my switchboard is up fully running. Praise the Lord. See, I know how to keep it moving and not give in because I knew it was going to come up. It just had to go to its cycle. So if anyone would like to talk about prejudice and prejudging people, hit one on your keypad, and I can bring you in with my switchboard over on this end. And if not, I'll keep going. Hallelujah. You know, we're talking about prejudging because of youth or old age. You know, a lot of people, we have someone, area code, I'm just going to bring you in. Hold on. Okay, just a minute. It's coming up. Okay. You are now on the air, area code 917.
Yes, you're talking about prejudice. I'm from Maryland, from Junction on International Ministry. We're talking about prejudice. We can prejudge people, you know, sometimes, and that'll be that same person that you might need, you know, in the long run. Somebody might be even disguising themselves to see how you're going to treat somebody because they might not be dressing like you. They're full of tattoos in their young age, and you don't know. That might be that very same person that can help you in the ministry. But what we do is we prejudge people, or they got a ring in their nose, or some things they used to do, and you prejudging that same person, and that same person might be in a position to help you get into the ministry. So we have to be careful how we label people. Be careful how we judge people. Be careful how we put our mouth on people. Because we never know that person is going to be that same one that picks us up.
That is so true. And, you know, I brought this topic up today for the women. And if men on here, praise God, they can speak also. But I'm going to give myself as a good example. People always prejudge me. They don't really know me. They don't even know my full name. But they have already prejudged me on either the way I look to them or the things I do, the things they don't know that I can do, but they have already formed an opinion of me. They have never got to know who I am. They always want to point fingers. That's why I ain't using nobody that's on the show today. I'm using me for the best example. And when I was going to put this show on, and I thought about that. How prejudge, how people can judge you and don't know you. They count you out. They figure you can't do this and can do that. And they don't know what God has put on the inside of you. A lot of people want to say, just like you said, caller, about ministry. You've been in ministry before them. They don't know what you can do. They don't know what God has put on the inside of you. But they are prejudging you because They just looking at the outer appearance. You have not even, they haven't even touched the surface yet on what God has for you to do. And, you know, when you think about that, that's why I'm using me as a good example for this show today. People judge you because you don't look like them, they judging you. Because you don't have the finances like them, they judging you. They think they're judging you. They don't know what you really have. Just because you didn't make it known, I put me. Because I didn't make it known, they're judging me. Oh, well, she can't do this. Well, she's such and such a thing. Oh, she's such and such a thing. You done already put your mouth on that person. Oh, she can't do that. I can do it better. Well, go ahead. Do it. If God gave her a task to do, he didn't give you that task. So why are you trying to make like you can do that task better than Apostle Overseer Sadie Elliott? A lot of people got a problem being called an apostle. Why? Because God haven't called you yet as an apostle? You know, just because you have not been an overseer? Do you know really what an overseer do? Really? Just because he haven't called you to do, I'm putting myself out there on Front Street today. He haven't given you the gift to mentor somebody, or he haven't given you the gift to sow in different areas that you do. You know, we quick to judge people because that person don't pray like you pray, or that person don't do an outreach like you do it. God give everybody a talent, more than one talent, and we are not to judge somebody else because you don't know where God have them at. You don't know what God's going to do with them, or God is doing that they haven't even showed you yet, but you prejudging. You know, even old age, we're going to go to that one, prejudging because of youth or old age. Somebody, I'm still putting myself on Front Street today. Oh, you that old? You do that? Why? That should be for a younger person. But if God gave you that to do, no matter how old you are, if God told you to do something, I put myself still on pressure. I go to the prison. I do prison ministry. Oh, girl, you still doing that? I thought you had stopped doing that. You still go out and sing? You still speak? Well, if God give you a voice to sing and he wants you to sing, sing to the glory of God. If God told you to speak and bring sheep in, that's what he wants you to do. But people are so quick to judge a person. Oh, she cooked. Well, do you cook? Can you boil a pot of water without the pot burning? Can you bake? You know, I'm using me on Front Street today, talking about prejudging a person. You know, we have to be so careful. Let's go on to scripture. And then if anybody would want to talk, all you have to do is hit one on your keypad, because my switchboard is fully, it's ready. It's ready. Anybody that want to talk about this, I put myself on Front Street today. Everybody feel they can do what Apostle Overseer Sadie can do. Well, if God gave you something to do like I'm doing, do it to the best of your ability. But everybody has a talent or a gift God have given to them. Okay, let's go to prejudging because of youth and old age. You know, Matthew 18 and 10 say, beware that you do not despise a single one of these little ones. That's what the Bible is saying. For I tell you that in heaven there are angels always in the presence of my heavenly Father. How often have you heard the words, they are just children? We do not have time for children. We do not listen to them as much as we would to an adult. In fact, children are true VIPs of the world, for in their hands rests the future. You see how the enemy is trying to take out the future generation by killing all the children of all ages. They're not just targeting one certain age. They're starting from the cradle on up. Today we are talking about prejudging and judging people. And we are coming from the scripture today. You can read that at your convenience. And that way I don't take a lot of time. I keep going to the different scripture. But if you have your Bible and your pen and pencil, you can write these scriptures down as I give them to you. And you can go back and read them for yourself on what thus say the Lord. Not what apostles say to say, but what thus say the Lord say. And I think I'll touch base on 1 Timothy. Let me turn to it, 1 Timothy 4 and 12. And the word of God said, let no man despise thy youth. He said, no man, but that thou an example of the believer in words, in conversation, in charity, that means love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. You know, don't let anyone think little of you because you are young. We have a lot of young people that do a lot of great things that God have given them. But people prejudge them. They prejudge the old. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5 and 1, where it says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father and the youngest men as brethren. Then we go to verse 2. It says, the elder woman as mothers, the youngers as sisters, which are purity. Here they're talking about the elder woman and the elder man, the youth and the old. And, you know, never speak harshly to an older man or woman, but appear to him respectfully as though he were your own father or mother. Talk to the younger men as you would to your own brother. Now, here, that's what the scripture is saying, you all. And that's why I put myself on Front Street today. Because people figure they can come and talk to you any kind of way. But here the scripture is telling you, rebuke not an elder. Don't rebuke an elder that's older than you. Then treat him as a father. And the youth, younger men, as brethren. The elder woman, we have some elder women. We have women, not just in the church, but in your family. Don't disrespect them. You know, to youth belong the future. To old age before the honor of bringing us all to this point. Youth has an opportunity to win the world. Old age has the experience of victory. We should honor each for its contributing. Anybody would like to say something, I'll stop right there. And you can hit one on your keypad. Because a lot of people around the world, not just in church, not just in groups and settings, they like to disrespect the elders, whether it be a man or a woman. The Bible is telling you to respect your elders. Elders in age, elders that are in ministry, men or women, and even the youth. The youth have a lot they can contribute to. But we have to listen to what they have to say. Don't all the time cut them off at the path, as I say. Cut them off. You didn't get to hear what they had to say. You don't know what God could have revealed to them to give you a message. You know, you have to realize we don't know all the answers just because we're older. Sometimes God will come up and give somebody younger than you an answer to a question you've been wanting to know. Count them out, you all. Don't count out your mother, your father, your auntie, your uncle, the elders at the church, whether it's a man or a woman. Don't count them out. They're older. They've been through a lot of things that they can help you with. Just because you was ordained yesterday don't mean you got it all. You was ordained and don't know the first thing about what you was ordained about. You haven't even went through what God wanted to take you through yet. You went through what man's saying, but have you went through what God is doing? Think about that. I'm still putting myself on Front Street today. Don't be prejudged because of a person's occupation. That's another one. How many people is jealous because that person is the manager of a store and they're the sale clerk? Well, I can do what they're doing. But soon as they put you up there to do it, you fail every test. You don't pass it. Because that wasn't the forte God had given you at that time. I've seen so many say they could do what I was doing. and they're not doing it right now because that's not what God called them to do. We have to stay where God put us on. You know, like I always say, do the assignment God gave you to do. And as you finish that assignment, he'll elevate you up. When he see you have mastered that assignment, he'll give you another assignment. And when he do that, you'll be surprised. And if anybody would like to say anything, all you do is hit one on your keypad. Area code 917, did you want to say anything? Because I still your hand is still up. I gladly have you on.
No. Yes, I was just looking up and it said, be ye devoted to one another and love, honor one another above yourself, as in Romans 12 and 10. So we have to what? Be devoted to one another. We as people of God, we think that we above people, and we can't be devoted to one another. We can't appreciate somebody else's input. We think that we know it all. Like you said, I just got my degree. But we have to realize God has put people over us so we can learn.
Mm-hmm.
See? And if we turn people out, what are we going to learn? You know,
mm-hmm.
we got to learn from somebody. And then it says be devoted to one another. Are we devoted to one another?
Mm-hmm.
Are we saying you be above one another? We get it twisted. Are we devoted or be above one another? It says be devoted to one another in love. Honor one
mm-hmm.
another above yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that.
That's
we need
right.
to honor one another. We need to respect one another. We need to respect one another's position. We need to respect one another that God has called that person, like you said, maybe God called you an apostle. Stop down to me and say, but God did not call. You don't know what God did.
That's right.
We just need to respect one another, number one. So as we respect one another and honor one another, guess what? It'll go a long way.
That's true.
And then we
That's
won't
true.
Look down on people. And another
That's
thing,
true.
Too, is why we look down on people. Well, Sister Jane say that she don't know this and she don't know that. Stop listening to Sister Jane and listen to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sister
mm-hmm.
Jane is trying to put you down. Sister Jane don't want you to be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I heard something the other day. Somebody sent me a clip from Martin Luther King. It says, don't allow anybody to bring you so low to make you hate them. Don't
All
allow
right.
them to do that.
All right.
Don't allow them to do that. Because guess what? I'm trying to make heaven my home. And I'm not trying
there
to hate
go.
Anybody. Praise
there
God.
Go.
So, I mean, so we have to be careful how we label people. Be careful
mm-hmm.
what box we put people in. Be careful how we put our name on people.
Because mm-hmm.
the same thing you put your name on somebody doing the same thing to you.
That's right. That's right.
So we have to
thank
be careful.
You, Carla.
Be careful.
Mm-hmm. And that is so true. Do we have anyone else I can bring you on? Hit one on your keypad. Because when a person, and I'm still putting myself on Front Street, I ain't using nobody else. I'm using myself with this broadcast. When God directs you to do something and tell you something, it's coming straight from God. And you got a hook up and a connection with God. You know what's a God thing and what's an enemy thing. And so, when people go to talking, and are both sides of their mouth, one side here, one side there, but they haven't went to God, God got to come to them and let them know, I'm the one told so-and-so to do so-and-so. I'm the one sent so-and-so to so-and-so to you all. But y'all turned the back. Y'all got rid of that one. Y'all didn't want this one here because y'all figure they know it more than you. That's why I sent them, so you can be taught. I've never got too old. Well, I can't be taught. I thank God I'm still got myself on Front Street today, because that's an old little saying said you can always teach a old dog new tricks. Well, you can
uh-huh.
teach people. You know, some people figure they get so caught up that they can't be taught nothing no more. No. Long as we on this green earth, God have us down here. He said a child can lead you. If a child can lead you to the light and right, what about somebody else? A child. A child can tell you, ma'am, Don't go down there to that corner by, I'm using this as a petitious street. Don't go down there to Evergreen, ma'am. I just come from that way. And it's a great big old wreck. Traffic is tied up. That child told you that to help you because God had directed that child to tell you that. Oh, that child don't know what she's talking about. Let me go down here because I know I go down Evergreen Street all the time. You get down there, you bogged down in traffic for the next 4 or 5 hours, and it going to come to you. You know that little child told me don't go to Evergreen, but you figure just because he or she was a child, they didn't know what they was talking about. And that same way about adults, period, in life, not just ministry, but in life. Somebody else can tell you something. Like the word say, try the spirit by the spirit and make sure it's of God. People can tell me stuff every day, all today. I've been busy as a cat on a hot tin roof today. I've been doing 3 or 4 different things. Where God wasn't having me do this, finish that one, go do this one here, finish that one, then do this one. I mean, and even with my broadcast, come in and start that thing up early, so wouldn't be no problem. But here at the last minute, the enemy said, well, we're going to do an update. But you see how good God is? I kept on because I know when God is in a thing, he'll make it all right. I'm still got myself on Front Street today. I ain't talking about nobody but me today. I'm on Front Street. Now let's go to the next one. Let's finish this one here on Mark 6:2-3, talking about prejudging because of a personal occupation. Let me read that what the Bible say. The Bible say in Mark 6:4, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. I'm still using me today, and I'm going to use the prophet that we had that have passed on. He wasn't honored in his own hometown. So I know what the scripture's saying. It's people that won't honor me because who God called me to be and what he had me to be. But, you know, I had to learn a long time ago, don't worry what the people say. What did God say? What is he got you doing? What do he want you to do? And if anybody would like to come up with say anything, feel free, hit one on your keypad, and I'll gladly bring you in. You know, here, when did he get all his wisdom? Where did he get all his wisdom? And the power to perform such miracle. He's just the carpenter, the son of Mary. See, that's what the people say. Oh, he ain't nobody. He just a carpenter. He the son of Mary, Jesus. See, that's what they took him lightly, just because he was a carpenter's son. How many of you all, just because your mother worked in them other folks' kitchen, or she babysit, oh, she just a babysitter. But they really don't know the babysitter. They're just going by, they see you at somebody's house babysitting, or it was told to them, you babysitting this group of people, or you dog sitting, or a cat sitting, or house sitting. But really, they don't even know you. But they're already judging you and don't know you. And that's what people are doing today. You know, familiarity breeds contempt. We know someone well. But, you know, here, God does not write off families or occupation. And perhaps that is why Jesus chose to come to the families of a carpenter rather than to the family of a king. God loved each person regardless of occupation. See, they talked about the disciples. They were fishers. Oh, they're just fishers. They just go down there and fish. But look how God elevated those disciples from prophesying to healing, to speaking the word and people lie. But they counted them off as just fishermen. You got to be careful on what you put your mouth on, who you put your mouth on. You got to be so careful. You know, we're going to don't be prejudged because a person is a family member or a hometown person. You know, when you think of that, we still on Mark 6:4. And I'm going to put, we know someone well, so we don't respect that person. No, that just because you think you know that person well, you're still supposed to respect them. Actually, when we know someone well, and if that person has integrated or have integrity, we should honor that person even more. These people had God's son in their midst, but couldn't recognize him because of his family and address. Here, they couldn't recognize Jesus. Or they could say, well, that's Mary's son, Mary and Joseph. His dad is a carpenter. He ain't nothing. He ain't about la-di-da. And you have been in company of people that have prejudged people. Oh, she just worked over there at Ross. She just a sale clerk. But when you went in, she was a sale clerk. But the next time you go in, she might be owner of the Ross that you was going in and say all she was a sale clerk. But here she been elevated through the law and through her work ethic till now she own a Ross. No, that can't be Sadie, daughter. That can't be Sadie's son over there in charge of Ross. Oh, no, here they go. I remember when she was a sale clerk, yeah, but you kept saying she was nothing. She was nothing. She was about la-di-da. Because you looked at her as a sale clerk. How many people have you went into fast food stores in Kentucky, Taco Bell? And when you see them, there was the lady in Maine at the window taking your order. But a couple of months later or a year later, you went to that same restaurant and find out they own that Taco Bell. They now is the owner of a Kentucky Fried Chicken. Or now they own Golden Corral. Think about it. You don't know what God has for that person. So stop judging the person by their appearance, by their occupation, by their financial status, whether they're in a group, whether they're old or young. Don't judge that person. Say, God, start asking God for forgiveness. Start repenting today. Because if so many people have labeled people on the way they perceive the person, stop doing that, you all. Stop doing that, women. God have a lot for you. Just stay on the assignment and in the arena he put you in. And as he elevates you, he'll show others who you are or what you are. He's keeping you hid right now. He's going to bring you up to the forefront. I've had people come on the line. They didn't like what we were saying, so they went off. That's good. But stop prejudging people. Because you don't know what God have for that person to do. They might start it out cleaning the bathroom. Next thing you know, they've been graduated to working in the kitchen. They done graduated from working in the kitchen to serving you at the register, cashier and all. You don't know where God going to put that person. So now we're going to come up. Don't be prejudged because of an ethnic back or racial difference. Oh, I know everybody ought to have their hands up on this one here. You know, Luke 10 and 33. Let's turn over to Luke 10 and 33 and see what they are saying. That's why I'm going strictly from the Bible. That way everybody can read what the Bible says for themselves. Okay, Luke 10 and 33 says, but a certain Samaria, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He didn't worry about what ethnic background that the man came from, that Samaritan. God sent him that way to be able to help that Samaritan. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt deep pity. That means he helped the man. Here over in John 4 and 9, you can read that at your leisure. Here the woman was surprised for Jews refusing to have anything to do with the Samaritan. You know, a lot of people don't want to have anything to do with certain ethnical group of people. What have they done you? Haven't God picked you up out the mock and the miry clay, set your feet on solid ground, turned you around, cleaned you up inside and out? And when you go to speaking, somebody going to say, I remember when. I didn't know you came from that country, or I didn't know you spoke that language. They didn't get time to find out what you did. Already they had prejudged you. Over in Acts 10:28, let me turn over to Acts 10:28 and see what the word of God is saying. It says, and he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or coming to one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. You know, we don't like, I'm going to use me and people around in my area, in the city I live in. We don't like to see people under the bridge, on the highways and the byways with a cup. We see them dirty. We see them hungry. We see them men and women with children. But had you ever thought of where God brought you from? How close you was at being at the soup kitchen or in the soup kitchen to get you a bowl of soup and crackers? Had you thought about how when you got unemployed and you didn't have money to go buy you something nice to put on, and somebody donated you some clothes, some shoe, and you was glad to get them? Think about that. Don't prejudge a person. Just because that person under the bridge, you don't even know that person's story right now. You are, he shouldn't be up under there. How close did you come to being under there? Think about it. You might have been on Easy Street last week, but this week they close your company down. You don't have hospitalization on your insurance no more. You're going to have to move out of that nice area you was living in and move to an area undesirable you really don't want to be in, but somebody done open up and give you an apartment, and that's where it's at. I'm not to come there and look down on you just because I stay in the house, look better than you. I'm no better than you, because tomorrow I could be in the same shape you are. I can't judge you. God said in his word, do not judge. Anybody else would like to say something on this topic today, please hit one on your telephone and I will bring you in. If anyone would like to say something. You know, Acts 10:28, when we was talking about just a while ago, reading the scripture, here Peter told them, you know it is against the Jewish law for me to come into a Gentile home like this. But God has showed me through the scriptures that I should never think of anyone as impure. Here God showed them through the scriptures. And that's what we have to. We have to go through the scriptures. No, we don't like situations we in sometimes. And sometimes God put us in situations to bring us up out of those high horses. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm better than you. I'm We're as filthy rags in God's eyesight. He allowed us to have a nice dress, a nice pair of shoes to put on, a nice slip, a nice pair of stockings. That other person would love to have what you have. Share what you got. I'm still using me on Front Street. I cleaned out my closet this week and took a lot of suits out that I'm going to take and give to people that God direct me to. Ain't nothing wrong with them. Some of them brand new. But I'm going to follow the instruction he give me. I'm using me today on Front Street. So when you think about that, over in Acts 10:34-35, let me turn over and read what that says. I just go ahead and give you. I'm going to give you the scripture and you can read them at your leisure. When Peter replied, I see very clearly that God doesn't show partiality. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. You know, a lot of people want to judge you because you don't speak like they speak. You don't have all those big words. You don't have all those DDB, that's what I call them, all them accolades from all the colleges and all the churches and everything. Don't look down on somebody. The Lord blessed some of us to get that. Some he didn't. But that means we don't treat them no less than them that have all those sheepskins on the wall and in frames. I have a box of all kind of accolades from jobs to ministry. But I treat people every day the same way that I want to be treated. I don't act like I'm more than them or I got more than them. Because it is nothing but the grace of God that I have what I have. I'm still putting myself on Front Street today. And when you think about that, and God bring it to your remembrance, God, please forgive me for prejudging that person, because I'm no better than that person. You allowed me to get what I got, but you could take it away in a twinkling of an eye. I'm glad when people get promoted on their job. I'm glad if they get a new car. I'm glad if they call and say, I got a new house. I'm glad if they say, I'm being shipped to another state for something better. I'm glad. Because when God get ready to bless me and to, he going to open the door. He know what he, see, I may not be on that journey that that person is on. He may have me right here to do what he need to be done. But he's showing me, this is where I'm sending this person. So, today as we get ready to end our broadcast, this is a two-part series. We'll be coming back with this on another date, on another time. But Acts 11 and 18, you can write that down and read it at your earliest convenience. If anyone on the line would like to say anything, hit one on your keypad and I will gladly bring you in. When the others heard this, all their objections were answered, and they began praising God. They say, God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of turning from sin and receiving eternal life. You know, in heaven, there are no ethnic group. When we get to heaven, there ain't going to be no white, no black, no red, no purple, no Indian. No races, no distinction, such as these. So why should they be important now? When we get to heaven, we say down here we want to walk the streets paved with gold. But God, it's going to be so. This is the dressing room, y'all, where we got to get it right. So that way we need to be praising God every day, all day. Our appearance, don't worry, that ain't going to count in heaven. Our occupation, that's not going to count in heaven. Our ethnic group, that's not going to count. Our finances, that's not going to count. Our age, because when God calls us, we're all going to be changed with a twinkling of an eye when we get to heaven. We're not going to need all this earthly stuff in heaven. That's why we got to praise him now. So when we get to heaven, we don't mind praising God. We're not going to get tired because we ain't going to have them earthly bodies no more. We're going to have a glorified body. So, women, thank you for coming on today. For women unified in Christ, don't be prejudiced for or against a person because of the way they look, the way they dress, their appearance. Don't worry about how much money they have. Because they can give you some wisdom. Don't worry about the age, because they're older than you or younger than you. God can impart something in them that will help you in the long run. So I want to thank all the ladies that came to the line today for this broadcast. Even if it took about 10 minutes, I kept talking until my switchboard came up. But I thank you, ladies, for coming on. And if you all would like to be on the broadcast, to come up with a topic with a show, let me know. Please let me know. We gladly would bring you on. We'll gladly bring you on. As I always say before I close my program, if I had the tentacles of an octopus, I would hug each and every one of you all and tell you just how much I love you. So until the second Saturday in April, Women Unified in Christ, we tell other women about the broadcast and that they are welcome to come on. They're welcome to speak at any time. I'll be glad to bring them up on the switchboard that they can share their views with others that's on the line. So until the 2nd of April, second Saturday in April, be blessed. Love each one of you all. And do come back. Invite some other women. Because this is Women Unified in Christ. We want to be unified in Christ here on earth. So when God calls us, we can be unified in heaven. Our spirit will know each other in heaven. So until April, be blessed, women. And thank you for coming on. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bye-bye.